Dormammu, I've come to bargain.
I feel something.
You feel it?
Yes, I feel it.
That's the force.
Do you lay eggs?
What?
No.
Blow that piece of junk out of the sky!
Quite a lot's happened. You and I had a fight recently.
Did I win?
No, I won easily.
I am Groot.
I am Steve Rogers.
Traitor!
Who in the hell do you think you are?
I have spoken.
Hey guys, welcome to WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me tonight is Jack McCarthy.
Howdy, folks.
And Frederick Eckers.
Hello, everyone.
So in tonight's show, what we'll be doing is we're going to review the latest episode of Loki, which is episode 4. We'll also get a little bit into the Bad Batch, and we'll get into news. But first, I wanted to make an announcement. Starting now, we are just going to be going back to audio. We are no longer doing video. They are rebranding the entertainment channel. And I'm not 100% sure what they're doing, but I kind of figured, you know, it was expected. You know, we're a specialty kind of podcast. We deal with Marvel and Star Wars, DC, and some Disney. And I think, you know, people that subscribe to WDWNT, you know, they're really looking for parks information, Disney information. So it wouldn't necessarily, I would say, fit in with something like that. And I can understand that. Like when you subscribe to a channel, and I've done this before, like I used to subscribe to Joe Rogan when he was on YouTube. And it always used to get me frustrated if I get a notification that a new episode was out and he was talking about, you know, UFC or MMA or something like that. And I wanted to hear some political stuff that he was talking about. So after a while, I just unsubscribed and all that. You know, so I can kind of understand, like, if you're going for Disney focused park information, might not be the best place to put stuff like Nerd Alert. But we're still going to do audio, though. You know, we've been doing audio for 7 years. And, you know, we have pretty good fan base. I hear from a lot of you. And it always makes me feel good, you know, to get emails from you guys. And that's what keeps me going anyway. And I share the emails with, you know, everybody that works at Nerd Alert, too. And the nice ones. Usually they're nice, though. I rarely get a bad one. But it definitely, you know, this is just a labor of love for all of us. We don't get paid for it, but we enjoy doing it. We enjoy talking, and we also enjoy hearing from you guys and hearing what you have to say. And it definitely makes me feel good that, you know, you like our content and what we do and the way we do it. And so we're going to try to continue to do that as we can. Doesn't mean we're not going to be on video. We might be on video in the future in some other form, but right now we're just going to do audio. Do you guys have anything to say?
No, I think you pretty much summed it up.
I agree.
The one good thing is that I hated seeing myself on video. You know, it's like during COVID, I'd put on weight like a lot of people did. And I was like, ugh. So I'm kind of glad I don't have to look at myself like when I'm on video. I mean, I've worked out, you know, definitely try. It's an incentive to lose weight and get in better shape, but good God, I'm not going to miss that whole aspect of when you look in and you're like, do I really look like that? Oh my God. I know I'm being very vain, but that's me. What are you going to do?
Mock you for your vanity.
I guess so. You could mock me for my vanity. All right. Anyway, let's get into the news. So, big news this week is Disney is renaming Boba Fett Slave One to Boba Fett's Starship. And a lot of people are not happy about it. Some people are happy about it. But it's pretty big news. It's been making its way around to like all the big news sites and papers and stuff like that. And What do you think, Jack? I mean, since you're, I don't know if you are, are you a fan of Boba Fett?
I'm not the biggest Boba Fett fan, and I never thought George Lucas was either when you consider how Boba Fett was kind of treated. I mean, he was there as a plot device to steal Han Solo away, but let's face it, the fact that they put in a burp after he fell into the Sarlacc pit is just sort of like, you know, first he does the Wilhelm scream, hits the side of the barge, falls into the pit, you know, he's taken out by a blind guy. It's just, Boba Fett didn't get a lot of love, I think, from George Lucas. But he is a fan favorite because, let's face it, his armor is cool. As far as the Slave One goes, this is, I think, just, once again, an overreaction to something that's been around for years and years, and now all of a sudden people are offended by it. Honestly, most people who aren't in the nerd clique, I guess to put it, just call it Boba Fett spaceship. So this isn't a deal breaker or anything, but it's just one more domino in the oversensitive, overly political correct realm.
Look how nice Jack is by how he's saying these things. He's definitely not me. I give him credit.
Well, I think Disney are kind of being dumbasses about it, but you know, you can spin that however you like. It's tough to get so offended over a movie that was 40 years ago. Isn't it scary that it was like 40 years ago?
Yeah, but he's probably in the top.
Badger, you were still a twinkle in your mom's eye. Come on.
Still, so, though, that's a long time ago.
This is one of those things, like, how angry can you get over it? Now it's just an eye roll. Like,
but I will say he's getting his own series. He's getting his own series now, you know?
Yeah, it's just, you know, come on. And the Slave One itself, I was never a big fan of that ship. The ship I actually liked better was what they used to call the Slave Two from Dark Empire. It was more like the ship itself looked like a cannon. It was pretty cool looking, I thought, but they blew that up in that series as well. So Boba Fett doesn't catch a break with anything. But I can't get too angry. It's just at this point now, you roll your eyes and say, what next are they going to revise? Because somebody out there was offended.
What about you, Fadio? Are you a fan of Boba Fett?
Shockingly, I agree with a lot of what Jack said. I think, yeah, I mean, as a character, I always thought it was, you know, interesting as far as the assassin, and his armor was definitely cool. I actually don't, I'm not really comfortable with the fact that because, you know, a group of people just are sensitive by it or feel like it shouldn't exist anymore, they just want to change it. It's kind of like, again, I kind of go back to the creator and the writer aspect. Like, that was their story, that was their character, they designed that ship. There's a freaking reason why that ship is named and designed the way that it is. So no offense, but who are you to come along and just change it because you don't like it?
Yeah, watch a different show.
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% right with that.
Sorry to get brutal, but it's like, I feel like I have to defend the artist or the writer here and not just about like, oh, what's trending or what's fit or what looks cool. Like, no, like you really need to think about how does the artist feel at that way. They labeled it for a reason to give you, you know, that connotation into the story and, you know, showing you what's the purpose. Now you're taking away that purpose and being like, yeah, I don't like that. Let's call it this instead. You know, by the way, let's just change the coloring and then we'll change the shape of the ship too. So then it's not from the original piece.
But you know, it's interesting as this might be revenge on George Lucas for what he did to the special editions, you know, that he put so
I
much.
I don't think it's that concerted an effort.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, what is it? Karma. You know what I'm saying? Because he did a lot of things to the original trilogy that made a lot of fans unhappy. And again, they were, some of it was over exaggerating. I remember so many people back then were saying, you killed my childhood. And it's like, no, you know, I mean, I don't like it. I, you know, I watch, you know, the unaltered versions because like I have, you know, the Harmy version. So I'm happy with that. But yeah, it's not cool. Like when you have a fan base that likes a certain thing or a certain storyline. And then, you know, when the creator goes in and decides, yeah, I don't like that. We're going to change that. We're going to put Anakin in Return of the Jedi. We're going to add Boba Fett into A New Hope. You know, what's his name? Jabba the Hutt. We'll put him in there. There's like a lot of weird things that he did.
I don't know, but I liked a lot of the new stuff that they put into A New Hope.
No, I know that. You like visually the special effects.
I mean, the dogfight over the Death Star.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think looks better. But there, you know, for everything you have like that, you get a trade-off. Like, I didn't like what they did to the Mos Eisley Cantina because some of those, all those creatures were conventional effects and looked terrific and stood up against the test of time. There was no reason to replace them with CGI characters that didn't look as good. I liked the bit with Jabba showing up at the Falcon. Unfortunately, it took them a few tries to get Jabba to look right. I don't know why Jabba was made look good for episode one, and then he just looked terrible when episode four came along. And then they replaced him in one version and replaced him in the other, where now I have the Blu-ray and Jabba looks passable now. He still doesn't look 100% right.
Well, the special editions came out before the prequels did.
The which one? Before the prequels?
They did, yeah.
Oh, I thought the prequels came out and then they
No, because
okay.
That All was right. I because I remember like what The Phantom Menace came out in 99 or something like that. I was in Florida at that point. I remember seeing the special editions at the Ziegfeld Theater in New York when I was living there. I guess it was like 96, 97 okay. When that happened. But no, like, they've been changing it like throughout the years.
Yeah,
trying to make
have.
It look better because it did look crap in the beginning.
Yeah, but then again, I like the extended Wampa scene that we got to see a little bit.
I don't like Wampa. That either because it's like you got two different Wampas. I mean, unless there's two Wampas and they... You have the original one in there, and then you have the nicer looking costume version in there, and they don't match. You know, if he's going to. No, it's not. It sucks. It's very distracting. It's not the same Wampa. It just doesn't look great. So, yeah, I mean, if I had a chance and said, I know you like the stuff that happened during the, you know, the Death Star battle and all that stuff. But for the special editions, if I was CEO of Disney, I'd get rid of them. Bring back the theatrical ones. I don't care if people like the special effects. I have decreed they will no longer exist.
So you're going to cancel the special editions? You're going to switch sides and cancel?
Oh, you mean you're calling it cancel culture?
I'm saying Joe Hogarty's first in line there. Cancel Star Wars.
Oh, geez, my microphone was all the way over here.
Oh, this is it. So now he's getting rid. Go on, Joe. Rant.
Yes. No, I mean, were you guys able to hear me? Were you guys able to hear me?
We were able to hear you. You didn't sound bad. Now you sound like the big giant head.
All right. So anyway, well, I'll see during editing what it sounds like.
Next story.
No, but, you know, look at the stuff they did there with Han Solo and Greedo with him shooting first and all that crap. It just was really super annoying. If he's going to fix the special effects, that's nice and everything. When he starts changing the story, it kind of messes things up.
if you're going to improve the story, that's good, but I don't think he really did, you know?
Well, that was it. For every good thing he added, there was a little stick in there that kind of got you. And of course, the biggest one, of course, is Hayden Christensen replacing Sebastian Shaw at the end of Jedi.
Yeah, and the no, it's, oh, I hate those movies. Thank God, again, I have the
and articles. Let's face it, we all loved Yub Nub.
Oh, yeah, that Yub too. Nub. Yeah, yep. So getting back to Slave One. So yeah, I'm like, you guys
are like, what did I sign up for? There it is.
You too, guys.
I'm kind of like, with you, I was never a huge fan of Boba Fett, but which was good about him, I think what a lot of people liked about him back in the day and why his fame grew was because he was mysterious and he wasn't a main character. He wasn't in Empire that much, but there was just something about him, his costume, his ship, you know, whatever. He was a badass, you know, that they had looked at. He definitely was the bounty hunter that stood out because he was the one that ended up getting Han Solo in the end.
I was like Bosk though. Kyle guy. I always thought he was cool.
No, all those bounty hunters look cool. Again, they were different because you didn't expect them to look the way that they did. You know, like there was IG-88 and whoever the hell else was in there too.
Well, like one thing I liked about what they did with Bosk is they changed the anatomy away from humans. Like if you look at it, like Bosk's forearms are like extremely long, so the joints are like in different places, and I thought that was a nice little touch just to make them a little less human maybe. Mm-hmm. But I hated what they did with the Trandoshans in the Mandarin in the Mandalorian.
Getting back to Slave
Mandalorian.
First of all, I think the new name is very lame. Boba Fett's starship. I mean, they couldn't have called it like the Eliminator or the Enforcer or something like that, like a cool name. It's just so generic. It's just,
well, you know, has it ever really been named?
I don't think it ever has.
I don't think it ever received a name anyway. So, who cares? There's plenty of other things to get offended about.
Well, you know, I mean, there's the Millennium Falcon. I mean, I know that's been named in the movies and stuff like that. Has it? I don't think. Or he calls it the Falcon, you know, maybe at times. But
well, he said, you never heard of the Millennium Falcon.
Okay, there you go. But yeah, I don't think that they really mentioned Slave One. They didn't mention it in The Mandalorian either.
They may have mentioned it in during the Clone Wars, because there was a section when Boba Fett was running around there.
I wonder if they mentioned it in the Star Wars Holiday Special, because that's the first time that we saw it.
I would have to watch it again to research that, but I'm not going to.
But Kenner probably was really the first one that we heard of it as Slave One. You know, like when they started producing the toys and all that, maybe it was in the novelization. I don't know. But bottom line, though, was what was that? 79 or something like that when it came out? I forget.
I'm around 79. I can remember it as 80.
Or maybe it was 80. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's definitely showing up my lack of knowledge when it comes to it. I think Jedi was 83. Maybe it's 81, whatever, you know, somewhere around there. But it kind of sucks that they're doing this, and it just goes to show just how woke Disney is. And I'm really starting to get annoyed with it. It's like every friggin' day there's a new change. And I don't know who's doing it, if it's people that are complaining. I mean, sometimes people do complain about stuff and they make it known, but is there like a woke contingency that works for Disney, like a kind of like an Illuminati that looks at every damn thing that Disney has and says, this is racist, this is sexist, this is whatever, you know, we can't have this anymore. But it's again,
I like the term, the Wokenati.
Wokenati.
Wokenati. Well, That's what we should call him from now, the Woke and Nutty. That's our general term. I'm going to write that down so I remember it too.
Yeah, we'll copyright it.
The Woke and Nutty.
But it's just, it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, do they seriously have a problem with the word slave? What are you going to do, like, when, you know, you go back to Egypt and they had slaves back then? Are they going to change that to, like, you know, unpaid laborers in the Bible? You know, it's just ridiculous that, again, that you're coddling people. You're coddling children about real history when I'm talking about slaves and stuff like that. I mean, that they are kids really going to be offended by the name Slave One? You know, is that what you're concerned about? I don't think. I would say probably if there was a poll done, usually the way the poll ends up coming is like they'll say, are you offended? Are you not offended? Or you just don't care? And it's usually most people are just not offended. It's like maybe a small amount. And then some might say, like maybe 40% might say, well, I'm not offended. And then somebody, you know, the rest will be, I don't care. I just don't care. So you can, people could use that either way. So you could say that you can include that 40 something percent that says that they don't care, that in a way they are offended by it, you know, that they, because I've seen press say that only 40% people support Slave One or something like that, the name Slave One, you know, but they're not including the people that don't care, you know. So they make it sound like it's a bigger percentage than it actually is. And I think that that's the case here with a lot of things that Disney does. And you see them do it all the time. They do it in the theme parks, like what they did with the Pirates of the Caribbean when they had like the wench auction. And they felt that, remember, they were auctioning off the redhead. They're like, nope, we can't do that. Instead, we'll make her a pirate. And it's like, why? Again, you're changing history.
Well, not exactly history.
Well, back in the day, you know, they didn't have some red pirate lady auctioning off wenches, you know?
There were women pirates, though, and some were pretty badass.
Well, yeah, I mean, there probably were, but I have a feeling that they didn't look like the redhead, and, you know, they're doing the same.
At sea. They couldn't get their hair right.
They did the same thing with the Jungle Cruise, that they removed the headhunter, you know, that they didn't like the portrayal of the natives. Splash Mountain, what they're doing with that after the whole George Floyd last year, they like almost instantly came out and they're like, we're rebranding Splash Mountain to get rid of Song of the South characters and replace it with the Princess and the Frog. Now, I love The Princess and the Frog. I think that's a great movie. I think it's an underrated movie, but I don't think it deserves to go on Splash Mountain. I mean, the theming just doesn't work. And in a way, people are grabbing hold of that movie and trying to say that it represents, you know, a black princess and why it's important. And it's the wrong reason I feel like that they're elevating that movie. I think that if you want to, you know what I'm saying? Like, for me, I like it because it's a good movie. I don't make it, you know, more important that it has a certain princess and that she deserves her own space in Disney. And maybe she does, you know, like if they want to do something like that, but not Splash Mountain. I mean, I think they can do any other kind of rides, like, you know, like the Peter Pan rides. I think that would be nice. Like the Little Mermaid ride that they have, make of a Princess and the Frog. But
don't take away Peter Pan. I used to love the Peter Pan ride.
No, I'm not saying take it away. Just build their own version. Get rid of that. What is that thing? The Speedway thing at the Magic Kingdom. I can't stand that. That's such a waste of real estate. But yeah, I you know, again, they're just going crazy. And the same thing with Disney Plus. It's like every time I sit down and I watch a movie, I get this stupid warning that, a lot of these things are offensive and racist. You know, they were wrong back in the day and they're wrong now, but we want to preserve the original. You know what? Just don't put that stuff there. If you don't want to see it, don't watch it. You know, I mean, there are people that want to see it and not be lectured about what it's about and all that stuff. It's fine. Most of the things that they complain about racism in cartoons, like with Dumbo and the Crows, I think that's fine. I think that they were kind of like heroes, the Crows. I mean, they basically were the only friends that Dumbo had. And I still watch it and I still think it's nice and everything. I don't think it was a derogatory portrayal of those crows. I mean, I know the lead crow, which they didn't really mention in the movie, his name was, you know, Jim Crow, which I guess was not the best name, you know, to use. But again, his name is never spoken. But they do that so often through those animated movies, and eventually they're going to start censoring them. I'm sure they'll probably cut out that stuff, or they'll cut out this scene with the Indians in Peter Pan. Almost every movie that they have. Oh, the Lady and the Tramp, they have the Siamese cats. They got a problem with that.
But it comes back to, once again, how far back you're going to look to find something to be offended by. So it, you know, these are classic movies. If you like them, watch them. If you don't, there's a plethora of other media out there to look at. So, you know, it's just not worth the argument that a lot of these people are talking about.
Well, the
whole thing, same way as the, what's his name? Campbell cover on Spider-Man. You had to go back 60 issues to find a cover that offended you.
We're not even talking about comic books. I mean,
it's the same principle. You know, those movies had been around for generations. You know, if you're going to find something to complain about in Peter Pan, then don't watch Peter Pan. The odds are you know what was in there because you saw it when you were, you know, a wee baron. But
a wee baron.
Wee baron.
You know,
oh, we're talking Irish now, eh?
Well, I've got Fogarty on the line. But it's the same thing. If I remember Dumbo and I remember the Crows and I still think I turned out relatively normal, it's my decision whether or not to let my kids watch it. And that's not a big deal to tell your kid, no, you know what? That's not for you. Let's watch something else. They're easily distracted. Just use a different shiny object. But these things, I don't understand why people can get so worked up over them after so long. If it was something new, I could see them going ballistic. And you know what? That's right, because we are now a little bit more sensitive in general. But you can't look at a cartoon that was made in the 50s and now complain about it and want to censor it. Because let's face it, your parents saw it, you've seen it, and now it's your decision whether or not you want to show your kids. So
there are a lot of like Warner Brothers cartoons that are on YouTube and they are racist. I mean, a lot of times I'll see something, I'm like, well, that's not that bad and everything. But some of them do cross the line even back then. I can understand that not wanting to be shown on the Cartoon Network or wherever the hell they would show something like that. But I think, again, that they kind of get a little crazy. Like Disney, I don't understand it. Is it a group of people that are making the decisions for the whole company? Because, again, like it, and we said this before, you might want to think of getting new people into the parks or getting new people to like Star Wars or something like that. But you can't forget your original fan base, too. Because, you know, once you kind of neglect them or you just don't care about them anymore, they're going to eventually leave. And I think that that's what's happening. I am really getting disgusted with all the wokeness that Disney is doing in the parks. And recently it was announced that they are getting rid of the classic line that I think Tom Kane does on the monorails, where it says, you know, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you know, welcome to the Magic Kingdom. So they're getting rid of ladies and gentlemen and boys and girls because they feel it's not inclusive enough. And that's just ridiculous. Because again, who are you offending? What percentage of the world are you offending? You know, it's ridiculous. And I think that those people that do come to the park, I'm sure they're fine with it. It's like, you know, just because like maybe out of billions of people in this world, maybe 100 people might be offended. That doesn't mean you change it. You got to think about the billion of people that aren't offended. I think it's creating more of a problem by taking a knee to the herd mentality, or not necessarily herd mentality, but just people that are, what is it, vocally loud or like to complain about things like on Twitter. Things were fine before Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. We never had to deal with this crap. Social media is definitely contributed to all this. Getting back to Slave One again. So the
Boba you've gone off on that. Not quite a rant, though. It was nowhere near as entertaining.
No, I was trying to be nice.
Well, I didn't get to say anything.
Yeah, Fedra.
Okay, I'm sorry, Fedra.
Prequel time. You got about half an hour now.
I won't get too deep. I'll try not to.
No, you can't get as deep as you want.
Nah. They'll call me crazy here. They'll just do that. They'll just call me a lunatic or something. So what I'll say is, I think that people at Disney, definitely, if they're, you know, continuing in this way, just to remember that there are consequences when you change that. And when you, you know, tell people to say, hey, look over here, don't look at that. You know, I think that it's going to actually create more questions and more, you know, curiosity, really, when it comes to these topics. If we did not have this awareness, we wouldn't be having these discussions. And these are really discussions that have to have, because I grew up watching them, and I grew up with really hardcore Eastern Europeans. So at dinner time, you know, philosophy and politics was every day. So when I'm watching like The Little Mermaid or The Lion King or, you know, any of these movies, I'm definitely seeing some underlining messages that are there. So for me to just be in denial, like, oh, they're not there, like, I'm not going to lie to myself. But you always have a choice, I think, to be insulted or not. And again, when it comes to the art of it, you know, who are you to say to just destroy it or to say like it can no longer be seen? You know, I think it does have merit that like we're getting more aware and we're making things differently now than the past generation. And that's good. That means we're progressing, hopefully, as, you know, humanity. In what we want to, you know, put out there for children and for, you know, just for entertainment. But I think that's what we have to like kind of understand also, that this is for entertainment. That's the use of it. So maybe it is supposed to upset you. Maybe it's supposed to make you sad. Maybe it's supposed to make you uplifted and happy. Like, it's supposed to invoke all these emotions. Otherwise, like, why are we watching it? Then I agree with Jack. Just turn it off. Look at something else.
A very excellent point. Thanks. I would love to have been at your dinner table.
Oh, you would hear my mother talk like this all day. And she'll be like, oh, you Americans, all you do is cry. Oh, it's so hard for you.
Who are you, Anastasia?
I guess so.
You almost made me snort my drink there. Sorry.
But seriously, the bottom line is, just because you don't like something doesn't mean that everybody has to not like it too. And I think that that's what people need to understand. And I guess you can say that the opposite way too, but again, this is like the whole thing with the monorail thing that's been around. I don't know how long it's been around. Probably Tom Kane had redubbed it, but probably since the 70s when, you know, Disney World first opened, that's been there welcoming people. And I guess they're doing it in the parks too. If like the user reference, ladies and gentlemen, or boys and girls, that's no longer allowed in Disney parks. I just think it's ridiculous. That's how I feel. I mean, I'm for trans rights and everybody having the right, you know, to live the way they want to. But again, I think that sometimes stuff like that just creates more resistance than it creates acceptance. And I don't think that they're thinking about that. And in a way, I hope Disney ends up learning the lesson the hard way, you know, through their stock price, through their revenues, their earnings and stuff like that. And again, they're a hypocritical company. It's like they make it like they're like big into social issues, but they don't give a crap about what's going on in China. You know, like they, when they released the Force.
Doesn't China make all their toys anyway? So why would they worry?
That's part of it, but they're also like they get a lot of money from China too, you know, selling their movies, their products. But like when The Force Awakens opened up over there, Finn, played by John Boyega, was on the posters all over the world except for in China, because China had apparently had an issue with a black man on the poster. Now, that was made by Disney to not put him on the poster, not China. Same thing with if you watched Rise of Skywalker, there was a lesbian kiss at the end that was cut out of the China version by Disney, not China.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. You know, it's like they're a bunch of super hypocrites, you know.
So it's like, we believe in these issues, but to accommodate your country, we're just going to alter it a little bit.
Yeah, the bottom line for them, money is more important than, you know, equality or whatever, you know, social issues or human rights and stuff like that. They can say whatever they want. You know, they can pretend that they're all about social issues and all that stuff. But in the end, if they were, they would completely cut off their revenue from China, you know, until things were better over there or they accepted things. Instead of having to edit and change things. Yeah, it's like, bah. All right, I don't want to get too much into it. I just wanted to mention, though, that the actor that played Boba Fett in the special editions, which I didn't realize it wasn't Jeremy Bullock. I thought that he played. I thought they called him back. Says, well, why don't you be Boba Fett again for, it's like some small scene in the special editions. But he came out and he, you know, basically lashed out at Disney for what they were doing. And he put a picture of Slave Leia, and you know he captioned it Starfighter Leia, you know. But you know he said Slave One will forever be my ship. You know, nothing, not even Disney, can change that. And he got support, and then he got some hate too from people that were in favor of it. But it does, like I mean, I loved when Disney bought Star Wars, because George Lucas really was doing nothing with Star Wars. We had the Clone Wars and that was about it, but he was never going to make movies again. You know, and we didn't like what he's doing with the special editions. And then Disney bought them and they instantly announced they're making Episode 7. And I was like, oh my God, thank you, Disney. That is so awesome. And I love Disney. And I was like, this is so great. But they ruined it. You know, it's like, now if we could go back in time, I wish they didn't buy Star Wars, because they're ruining Star Wars, you know, by pushing political agendas, you know, focusing way too much on social issues and not focusing on stories. And it's just sad what they're doing. And again, they're seeing it in their financials. The movies have been losing more and more money, you know, when they released them in theaters. You know, the comic books like that they do with Marvel and Star Wars, they're not doing very well. Manga is outbeating both of them. It's just frustrating as all hell. And I see it, and I've said this, you know, well, you haven't been on the podcast for a while, Fedra, but I've been saying this to Jack for a long time. Marvel is over. This is it. Phase 4, they're going to go woke. I mean, you can tell just by the movies that are coming out and even the series that we watch. They're focusing on wokeness. They don't give a damn about story. Their whole thing is about inclusiveness, representation. And again, that should be secondary. And like I said, Jack, with that whole Squadrons thing, like, I don't understand it. Like, if they have 8 skins, there's not one white male skin. I can understand representation and inclusiveness, but add, don't subtract. You know what I'm saying? It's like if something was there in previous games and you take it away, that's not equality or proper representation for everybody.
No, that's being hypocritical.
Yeah, which we basically said that's what they are. Anyway, I mean, that was kind of a rant, I think, by all of us, except it was very soft in tone. You know. All right. There is no next story.
That's our only story this week?
Yeah, that's our only story this week. So let's get into...
Not the fact that Indiana Jones 5 production is completely shut down now?
I just didn't want to talk about that.
What?
Well, isn't it? It's not completely shut down. I mean, I think they're still filming some stuff, but Harrison Ford is having shoulder surgery, and he's going to be out of it for like 3 months.
Man, all right.
But thanks for mentioning that, Jack.
That's okay.
I think that's a non-story, to be honest with you, because you know that movie's not going to be any good. Nobody wants to see it. It's like they didn't learn their lesson with the Crystal Skull, but whatever. You have anything to say, Fedra, about that?
I'm just shaking my head because that movie was terrible. Those Crystal Skulls.
And no word about them replacing Spider-Man with Ben Reilly in issue 75 of Amazing Spider-Man coming out soon? That's not a non-story.
Well, no, I just didn't want to get too much into news. I just kind of wanted to lay down the hammer about what was going on with our podcast, you know, and talk about Slave One. I mean, that's part of the problem too with us on video is we're just too long. You know, it's like when you look at other stuff that was on the Disney Entertainment Channel, it'd be like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Ours would be 3 hours, you know? And that's another thing.
Here we are. We're right back into it.
Well, that's the whole thing though. I mean, I can understand like if I'm going to subscribe to something and I have to sit there for 3 hours and just basically watch us talk, it's not fun. I mean, I'd rather probably listen to it via audio, you know, but some people would go to YouTube and just play YouTube and just put their headphones on without looking at the picture, you know, to watch podcasts. And that's where I guess it helped us. But it also, you know, I incorporated a lot of pictures. I tried to make it as visual as possible. You know, I know I kind of circled around back into this because it's Jack's fault, you know.
It's always my fault.
It is your
what?
Fault.
Always
my fault. Well, he brought up Indiana Jones, you know. No, I just wanted to say, too, you know, with our podcast on video, which I forgot to mention, maybe now you can hear me because my microphone was so far away. It took me so long to put that stuff together, too. Like, that's the one good grace for not being on video is when I would do the audio, it would take me an hour to edit the stuff. Video, it takes me like 6 to 10 hours, you know.
Well, maybe cut a little bit on this episode, you know.
Well, again, that's what would be nice if we just talked about Slave One, Loki, and the Bad Batch. You know, they're
my 2 minutes. Okay, never mind. I will not dispute you. This week on The Bad Batch.
All right, we're not even there yet. But so I guess my point with that whole thing, too, again, since we're kind of segue back into, you know, the podcast and everything is, yeah, it was a lot of work, you know, and again, we don't get paid for it. You know, it's a labor of love. And what are you saying? Abort what?
Run, go, don't go back, go, push forward, Excelsior.
Well, I'm doing my Alexander Hamilton kind of thing, you know. No, I mean, again, you know, like I said, I understand, you know, why it was done, but I'm just letting people.
I've heard you sing your Nolan memoir.
Wait, say that name again, because I think you don't even know his name.
It's not Lin-Manuel.
What's his last name?
Oh, I have absolutely no clue. I only made it through about 10 minutes of Hamilton and I turned it off.
It's Lin-Manuel,
which is my Miranda. Right as a viewer, rather than sit there and complain about it and say, Disney, you need to recast this whole thing because that guy's a little too weird looking. You know, no, you changed the channel. That's all. There's not a problem.
So now you're going back to the Slave One argument.
No, I'm not.
All right. Let's get into Loki. So, the latest episode was called The Nexus Event. It's episode 4. Let's hear from Fedra first. So, what did you think about The Nexus Event?
Well, I took some notes.
All right.
And I guess this, like, theme of Loki with another Loki, I think it was pretty still cheesy.
yes.
You know, my inner guidance was correct that Mobius was going to be, you know, finding them last second so that they live. It's like, oh, yippee. you know, the whole, timekeepers and that, you know, they're kind of like robots and they're not even there. I mean, that was like, what a shocker. Also, I don't know, it just felt very cliche, I guess, if I have to say it very quickly. Like, it just felt, you know, this whole like love feeling between the two Lokis is what creates this like sacred, you know, timeline theory.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. It's like, did they really have that much chemistry that they fell in love?
Didn't really see that.
They basically were running.
I did not see that, pick up on that either.
I think it's kind of funny if it's like two Lokis that are highly narcissistic and really love themselves to the point where they love each other. It's like,
if you
okay.
Look at it that way, yes.
It's like, all right, that's a nice psychological new way of looking at that. But what else did I write down? I thought, you know, kind of Mobius's death, like, is it really death? Because we see at the end of like Loki being in some kind of dimension. So is like Mobius like back with his family on the jet ski? Like, are we ever going to see Mobius again? Or is like, is every person kind of zapped and back to their original timelines? Like, that I thought was kind of interesting. That was where I was like, all right, that'd be cool. I'd like to see where that goes. But I thought it was kind of weird at the end, like Loki's in front of these other kind of Loki characters with this weird crocodile thingy.
Like, I didn't even pick up on that crocodile thingy.
Yeah, this kid's just holding. He's like holding a crocodile with like thorns on his head. And I'm just like,
oh, really?
I was like, okay, this is just a cluster again. Did I enjoy it more than the last one? Heck yeah, there was a lot more going on, but I just still felt like it was just so cliche that it just doesn't have that chemistry of like, it doesn't feel right. I don't feel connected still now as I was like from the beginning. Like, I think episode 1 and 2, I was connected. I was like, all right. And then it's just kind of kiboshed.
Oh, good point. I mean, you probably spoke for me.
Really? Oh.
But no. I still have a lot to say.
Yeah.
Of course I do.
Okay. Okay.
Go ahead, Jack.
Fedger, you are 100% correct.
What?
Episode 3 destroyed the show for me. Here it is. I didn't care that Owen Wilson got killed at all. In fact, really? When it happened, it was like, oh, were we supposed to care about him now and feel sad that he was? I felt nothing. And the whole chemistry between the Lokis, like, I don't know what the writers were thinking, but the actors weren't told to act that way. I think the best part of the entire episode was Loki stuck in the time loop.
Are you serious?
When Jamie Kennedy came in and just kept smacking the hell out of him.
That was a waste. That was like Groundhog Day.
That was the best part of the whole episode in my book.
I hated that. I mean, that they brought her back was good, but they used her for that crap?
Oh, no. It's a shame that she didn't get a meatier role because, you know, Jamie Alexander. But, it's just, you know what? I'm like, I just don't care. And it was the cliche, like, seriously, when the wave of destruction is coming towards them, was anybody surprised to see the outlines of the door? No. You know, somebody was going to hook them because they even introduced the fact that they're trying to track them down. You know, so even the cliche was like telegraphed. It's just a mess. In fact, because you guys said, oh, you got to look at the end trailers, the end credit scene. I was like, Kid Loki was fun in the comics. I don't know what they'll do. What made Kid Loki fun is they gave him a dog, which was, I think, one of the children of the Fenris.
Oh, I didn't know that they were canon.
No, the Kid Loki is there, you know, and he had a very fun arc in the comics. But like I said, I just don't care. That's the problem now. All the goodwill from the first two episodes was smashed. And even though stuff seemed to happen now in episode 4, I just didn't care. So they killed it for me. They killed my heart. They stole my childhood.
Well, like I said, I'm not too disappointed because I kind of felt that this series was going to be crap to begin with. And it didn't disappoint me, you know, because I knew it was going to happen. You know, where you guys, well, I'm not necessarily saying you, Fedra, but Jack, like, went and dove right into the pool expecting there to be water in that pool, but no.
Yeah, I did, because the characters you have from the comics, it could have been a very cool story. And by the way, anybody who thinks that, oh, the timekeepers were just robots, somebody's controlling the robots. The timekeepers are still out there.
Yeah.
And I mean, even that's a comic book thing from Marvel that people think they hardly know when they're talking to the real Dr. Doom, because he's made so many Doom bots and sent them out to do his bidding that they're like, oh yeah, only about half the encounters were with the real Doom. So this is the same thing. Anybody who thinks those robots were the timekeepers, come on, give me a break. You know, read a comic book. Nerd.
Well, the thing that I'm having a problem with, again, with Disney, what they've been doing a lot recently in their movies is they just don't let characters die, like what they did with the Rise of Skywalker when Chewbacca is dead. It would have been cool if he died, like Rose died in The Last Jedi. Finn dies in The Last Jedi. It would have been cool, you know? But no, they can't kill characters, you know, for whatever reason. So like Loki dies, 3 minutes later, he's coming back. So no, I thought that, you know, because I had heard rumors that the female Loki was going to basically be the new Loki and all that stuff. But, you know, that was false. But I thought after watching that, all right, okay, he's dead, you know, so now she'll be Loki and all that. I guess that's shocking, you know, but not surprising because, again, how Disney does things, that they'll replace a male character with a female character, or they'll make the you know, the male character look lesser than what the female character was. They do that a little too often, for my taste anyway. So I, again, it was all expected, you know, that Loki was going to be secondary at some point and that this new Loki was going to be the primary character. But they ruined all that stuff too by showing us in the mid-credit scene, yeah, Loki's not dead. Of course not. You know, no one stays dead in Disney. It's a bad thing, you know, for them. But there was really nothing interesting in this series for me. I can't think of a standout point. I can't understand why anybody would want to watch this series again. Like I said, like The Boys, I would watch that again, you know? I watched Invincible, you know, twice. You know, there are certain series that, like even The Sopranos, like if an episode is on, you know, TV or something like that, it's like, even though I've seen it, it's like, I'll watch it again. I'd never do that with any of this, these Marvel series that Disney Plus is producing. There's just no meat to them. And
I like WandaVision. I would watch WandaVision again.
Whatever. This is just, I don't know which is worse, WandaVision or Loki. I'm still going with WandaVision because that was just a waste of time. And it was longer too, which was even worse. All three series makes me sick, especially if this is the future of Disney, because they just don't care. Again, they're pushing social issues over story. I think that the whole thing with Loki falling in love with the alternate version of Loki is just probably some other agenda that they're pushing, you know, like where.
Well, doesn't seem like the feelings are mutual, though, I thought.
Well, it might not be, but that happens a lot in movies. You know, like, again, they canceled Pepe Le Pew. It wasn't mutual love between Pepe Le Pew and the cat. That sometimes happens. Some happens with most of my relationships, you know. But no, I think
that spite to Joe Hogarty's person.
But my point is, like, there are people out there that feel like if I want to marry a basketball, I can marry a basketball, you know, and people just kind of grasp their hands and go, how brave of you, how avant-garde of you, you know, and praise them. And we'll say, what, you know, and I think that that's what they're pushing, you know, Disney, that, you know, yeah, let's get rid of the ladies and gentlemen and boys and girls. Because
every time you say that, I keep thinking, and children of all ages.
Welcome to Barnum and Bailey's Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Circus.
The greatest show on earth.
Yep. That shows how old we are.
Again, and that's gone now. Wow.
The museum is in Sarasota, right?
Yeah. Fedra? It's beautiful.
Yeah.
You guys should go if you never have.
I know, I should go.
Mondays, it's free.
I might make a trip over there on Monday. If you're off or something like that on that day.
I will actually be here, so you could always stop by, because we are transforming my studio.
Oh, cool.
I'm really excited. We're putting everything together. Got my monitors and my stands and getting me ready to produce music again.
Oh, awesome. No, definitely. I need to make a trip over there. But yeah, I just don't like the series. I feel like Loki died at the end of, or in the beginning of Infinity War. It should have been, should have remained like that. It's almost like they put that crap in there in Endgame just to give him the series, you know, just let people die. All right. As good. Well, even like, you know, when you look at Gamora, I mean, she died and they brought her back instantly by bringing a different version of her into Endgame. Or was it Endgame or was it Infinity War? I forget. It probably was Endgame. Even Black Widow, she's getting her own series. Like, Disney just can't let people die, you know?
She's getting her own movie.
She's getting her own movie. No, that's what I mean. Well, she's getting her own movie, but that movie can turn into 10 movies if they want. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I just don't like it. And the whole timekeepers thing, that was like Wizard of Oz kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah. Definitely. That's what it felt like.
I think, and I've said, I said this to Dan. I think a lot of times, like what they'll do with like series like WandaVision and this one, is they'll make it so messed up and so convoluted that if you like basically reject it or you say you don't like it, their defense is, well, you're just not intelligent enough to like this series, or you just don't understand it. And I think a lot of people are afraid to admit that too. You know, like The Emperor's New Clothes. It's like, yeah, you know, oh, look at him. He looks great. Look at the new clothes. Of course I see them and all that. And just like when the reviewers came out for WandaVision saying, oh, it's so great. It's so awesome. It's incredible. It's amazing, you know. But I think a lot of the people out there are like, it's garbage. It's nothing. There's nothing to it. Except, see, Jack, if he saw the Emperor, oh, he'd see like the greatest clothes on the Emperor ever.
Thanks.
I'm just saying. I mean, you liked WandaVision.
I did like WandaVision. I thought it was very clever. I liked it. I enjoyed it.
But anyway, all right, let's get to the mid-credit scene, since I thought Jack might be more familiar. So who the hell are those guys? You said one is Kid Loki?
Well, one is Kid Loki. He is obviously Loki, time displaced, or some wacky thing, you know, the gods can come back. But his whole storyline is he's trying not to become the Loki that he grew up to be. So he's trying to do good, but the problem is he's a Loki. So even though he tries to do something good, no one appreciates it because, remember that time you made us all hunt down the Hulk, or remember that time when, you know, you had the Defenders fight the Avengers? No one trusts him. And he's trying to do good, but he's a Loki. So he always has some sort of scheme or plan within a plan within a plan. But since he's young, he isn't very good, and the plans always go awry. And what's also funny is, like I said, he's got a dog. And his dog is one of the pups from the Fenris Wolf. I don't know who the Fenris Wolf had pups with, but the dog talks. And, you know, they're walking down the street and somebody bumps somebody. And the dog is like, can I kill him? Can I eat him? I can burn him with my breath and crunch on his bones so they're cooked. You know, like these are the things that are coming out of the conversation between a boy and his dog. So it's just kind of a weird sort of thing. Thor is willing to give him a chance and tries to help him, but even that always comes back and bites Thor in the butt because he puts his trust in Loki, and Loki can't help but mess it up somehow. So that's that guy. The other two guys, I don't remember. I don't remember an alligator Loki, but that's something new. But Kid Loki, I remember from the comics, and he was a fun character.
Now, the other guy, he was, do you think that they're all Lokis?
It would only make sense that they're all Lokis.
Because of the one is a Kid Loki.
One's the kid, and the other, they all have the horns. The old guy has the headdress with the horns.
Now, was he the alligator or the crocodile?
No, the kid was holding the
crocodile. I missed that completely.
A crocodile with a little.
Yeah, with these little antlers. Yeah.
And you had an old guy, like an ancient Loki. And then you had another guy who...
He was holding a hammer. So I thought maybe he was Thor, or like a different version of Thor. Yeah,
that's what I was saying, is it's possible maybe he was Thor. And
anything's possible, but I only guess because the other ones were Loki variants, that guy was a Loki variant who was able to get Mjolnir. But it's not Mjolnir. It's a different, it looked like more of a classic Thor hammer. which doesn't look like Mjolnir.
Yeah.
But, you know, even that, I'm like, eh.
But this is what scares me, too. Like, when I say, like, with the multiverse and all that crap, I think that this is what Marvel is planning with the multiverse, is that they'll come out with all these different versions of the same character so that they can do all different movies or series. Like, you don't, you know, it's very possible the female Loki is going to get her own series. Kid Loki will get his own series. And then they can do that.
I don't think they'll, I don't think this is a big enough of a hit that they'll go that route.
Well, Disney will always lie and say that it had a huge reception. It surpassed the amount of numbers that they were expecting. They did that with, I forget what. Oh, well, Wonder Woman, you know, they were like, you know, Wonder Woman was so beloved by fans that we're greenlighting Wonder Woman 3. It's like, really? Which fans are you talking to? You know? And, you know, Disney does that crap too. Like, they always say that, they'll say Loki broke records. They just love to say that crap. But I don't necessarily, they don't have to prove it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, they can say whatever they want. They have a certain amount of subscribers. Maybe they added new subscribers. This doesn't necessarily mean that people specifically bought Disney Plus to watch Loki, but they'll say whatever they want in order to, you know, go forward with like a series or something that like that, and manipulate people's minds into thinking again, like The Emperor's New Clothes, that it actually is a good series. People do like it. If you don't like it, maybe you got a problem. Maybe you need to watch it again. And it's like, we got another one watching the series again, you know?
I don't know. I think after we get through this first batch of movies, series, not movies, I think we're going to eventually see the Disney Plus shows for Marvel be kind of like the Netflix movies series, where we're going to see more like the street level stories with heroes, like when they have Moon Knight coming out. I think Moon Knight is going to be more of a boots on the ground than a special effects heavy show. It'd be more like stunts and maybe a little bit more conventional. I don't think.
Did you watch any Netflix series like Daredevil or Punisher or?
Yeah, I did.
No, I'm not.
Well,
no,
I didn't get
through. Not you.
No, I haven't.
Fedra, I know you did. No, they had series like with Daredevil, Luke Cage.
Yeah, Jessica, I saw Jones. Luke Cage a bit.
So you saw that one.
Yeah.
And Punisher.
Not bad.
And Iron Fist. But I don't think it did any favors for them, though. I think that it kind of ruined them, you know? Like, huh? Where. Yeah, it's you like.
Mean, Daredevil, all three seasons were excellent. I thought the second season of Iron Fist was actually okay.
But I'm just saying, like, nobody's screaming to see more Daredevil and more Iron Fist after that. You know, they don't want to see them in a featured movie.
I think if Daredevil was still with Netflix, there would be people looking for a fourth season. I do. I mean, it was that good. And the same way, you know, I never thought Vincent D'Onofrio would be a good Kingpin. I just didn't see him like that. And now I can't imagine anybody else being the Kingpin.
Well, he's the one good thing that came out of that. You know, they could always reuse him.
The girl they had as Elektra fit the part great. I liked the guy they had as the Punisher.
Because,
He's
too young.
No. I thought
not big enough. Not big enough.
You know, I thought all of them in Daredevil were very good. Iron Fist had some problems because that first season was a mess, but the second season was really pretty good, and they set up Daughters of the Dragon, but was never going to get to a third season. Jessica Jones, the first season was very good. The second season was...
I didn't even know they had a second season.
Yeah.
Was but my point is, nobody's screaming for a Daredevil movie or a Punisher movie or an Iron Fist movie. And I think that that's what's going to happen, you know, how they're wasting the characters with Marvel, you know, where they're wasting Vision and Wanda, they're wasting, well, Captain America is getting his own movie. But again, that's all political. You know, it's not like he deserved his own movie. It's, again, Disney acting, pushing social issues in their agenda in order to give Sam Wilson's Captain America his own movie. Again, nobody is demanding it, but they want you to feel it, that people are. And a lot of the characters I think that they're going to introduce are just going to enter on Disney Plus and they're going to die there. You know, Mandalorian was a different story, but I think that part of it had to do with the fact that Jon Favreau was behind it. If they have talent that's behind it, or the, you know, someone that knows what they're doing, it can succeed. But I don't necessarily know about anything else in the future, Disney Plus. I guess we got to see it first. Anyway, I don't like
it. I have high hopes for Moon Knight, but you know me, I have high hopes all the time.
All right, really quick. Let's just get into Bad Batch really quick. Did you see that episode, Jack?
That was good. I thought that was good. And I like the throwback to the Sparty cylinders. Like, all sorts of stuff was in, all sorts of goodness was in that. Bad Batch continues just to keep getting better. And at last we found out what makes Omega so valuable. You know, so we got a good idea of why that's going on and, you know, who's hiring these hunters to try to get her back. While that wasn't a huge surprise, it still was. It still fits into the story of the man. I used to call them Kaminos, but they're Kaminoas now. They're calling them or something. The cloners, where the cloners are kind of pissed off that the Empire is canceling all the contracts for more clones and going with recruits. I just like how these little pieces are kind of all fitting together on it. And like I said, and the show was fun. I mean, it was good. I like how you knew she was going to trick the little robot, you know, but the robot didn't return the friendship, kind of. Like, I thought the moment he was going to help her escape when she's coming down the ladder, and he's like, nope, I'll knock her off. Like, I don't know. This is just a great show.
No, it's a good series.
I hope it's doing well. I really do, because I'd like to see another season.
No, it's a fun show. It's a good Star Wars show. Again, I like it better than Clone Wars. And I like that they're separate from, you know, the Rebellion or the Alliance or whatever, what have you. But no, I think that the writers are doing a good job, and I'm enjoying it. And like, I never thought that that was possible. And like I said, going to make this quick. That's all I got to say. You know?
I dare say I'm actually starting to like the character of Omega. She annoyed me at first, but she's actually getting better.
I couldn't be more happy for you.
Well, like I said, of course, I needed the Bad Batch to cheer me up after watching Loki, so.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah, gotta find your wins when you can.
All right, let's wrap this one up. So, Jack, can you tell everyone where they can find you?
Well, Fedra, did you watch Bad Batch?
No, I didn't, but I saw the trailer for the actual show, and I do want to check it out because it does look good.
No, I didn't skip you, Fedra. I knew you didn't watch it, so I figured...
No, I know.
We just go through it quick. Sorry about that. All right, Jack, tell them.
You could always find me at jackm@wdwnt.com.
And Fedra?
I'm on the Facebook and the Gram. And if you want to email me, it's fedraakris@gmail.com.
And if you want, you can email me at joe@wdwnt.com or send me a friend request on Facebook. Also, if you like our show and enjoy other WDWNT podcasts and like to become a Patreon supporter, please visit WDWNT's Patreon page at www.patreon.com/WDWNT. And
there he goes. He had the dramatic pause. Here we go, folks.
No, I'm glad I don't have to say as many W's as I normally say. So, but with that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 7, Episode 23. So until
next
time.
What about the carousel of products?
Well, I'm going to skip it for this week.
What about all your Universal Parks news?
I'll skip that for this week too. I'll do it next week. But I just didn't want to say a lot of W's this week. You're a pain in
the fans. The fans are going to be disappointed.
You're such a pain, dude. All right, this is the end of episode 23. So until next time, see ya.
Good night, all, and be good to each other.
Good night.